Shavuot Tov, holding in Aleph Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So we're Siman Pei, Halacha Yud Zayin. We're going to Halacha Chav Vav. The first halacha the Kitzur teaches us is regarding sifting water. Any water sifting, lechatchila the Kitzur says don't do. Why is that? Because there's many distinctions. In fact, this is the major shaila regarding in the city, let's say New York, etc., where they use filters, and even in standard homes, they use filters for the waters. So really, the base on the Ramah, if you look in the Ramah, Baskins, it's something that you could drink. It's called B'shasat Chak, meaning even you would prefer it to be more sifted, but filtered. But as long as it's you would drink it the way it is, so then you're allowed to filter. And that's really what we rely on when it comes to our filters. In any case, the Kitzur goes on to teach us something fascinating, that you're allowed to drink, let's say a drink, that you're worried about certain particles going into your mouth. So if you put a mapa, meaning a type of cloth, on the cup, no problem. And there's no consideration here of borer. Why is that? Because when it comes to a malacha, let's say borer, which usually is sifting, selecting, etc., that is only true when it's done before the eating. But in the process of eating or drinking, in this case, you are doing something that is a form of malacha, that's not a problem. That's an amazing chiddush. So therefore, in this case, you're drinking, and as you're drinking, you're filtering the psoilus, meaning the residue that you don't want in water. While you're drinking, that's not a problem. However, the Kitzur still warns us that there's another new problem, and the potential problem is the idea of kibbutz. Kibbutz means laundering. You're not allowed to launder clothing. So what's the problem here? Because if you're using a cloth, wetting a cloth, according to some opinion, is considered laundering by itself. Nevertheless, since there are many opinions that hold that it's only when you're actually scrubbing and not just wetting a cloth, or when the cloth is dirty and you're washing it. So since it's not the case in this case, so therefore when there's what's called shasat chach, you're stuck, you have nothing else to drink, etc., you don't have other clean water, so then you can be lenient. However, the Kitzur says still, don't use your sleeve. Or if someone uses sleeve, let's say that's the only thing he has. The problem with that is that you might come to soichet, which means to squeeze. So there's a new concern here. Don't do something that you might come to squeeze. Another example of a malacha, potential malacha, is when you're drinking coffee. Especially imagine those coffees that are called the Turkish coffee. Kafe Turki that they have in there too. So delicious, but it's called mud. They actually call it mud coffee. Because after you drink it, at the bottom there's like mud. So the Kitzur says you have to be careful that when you're drinking coffee, so don't pour out, let's say you're pouring out the coffee from this mud coffee. So don't pour out everything, because then you're mamish being boirel, you're separating, and even though here you're separating the good from the bad, still the chatchila you shouldn't do so. And the reason for that is, what's the svara? I thought we said that whenever you didn't go chum l'psos, it's okay. It's because here you're using a utensil. That seems to be the problem. Now, any case that there's what's called sediment or some residue that you don't want when you're pouring it, you have to be careful that you're not pouring out the entire clear part. You should leave a little bit of psoilus. And again, this is a little bit of a discussion, because the Mishavur says, no, if you're going to drink it right away, so what's the problem? As we pointed out, it must be the Kitzur's learning that the utensil itself is a concern. When it comes to milk that was coagulated, in the old days you used to have like, when they would coagulate milk, so basically using resin, they would make the milk curdle, and then you would take the cream that's on top. It's called smetan, the Kitzur calls it. So you're allowed to take some of this cream, but you should leave a little bit, because again, this is the idea that whenever you're separating fully, let's say the solid from the liquid, that's considered bora. If you're leaving some behind, it's not a problem. It's a very interesting concept. That means if you poured, let's say, psoilus and oichel residue, something you don't want, and you do want, let's say, they're mixed in, like you have here, this cream with the liquid, if you're pouring into another cup the entire amount, it's not a problem. It's only when you're separating it. And if you leave some behind, it's also not a problem. What another example is, you have the classical case of, you have a fly or some, what's called mosquito. Especially now, it's like you have buggy season, you know, and you suddenly find them. So it's good to always keep your drinks covered. But let's say you find a bug in your cup on Shabbos, what do you do? The answer is, you're allowed to take it out, but you have to take with it some of the liquid or the food. So you use a spoon to take out some of that, let's say the fly or whatever it is. And halachic, you're allowed to drink the rest. It's not a problem, by the way. The point is that you're not allowed to just take out the fly. That would be considered taking out the platelets. Here, when you're taking out some of the food with it, so therefore it's considered like you're taking food from food, and therefore it's not a problem. Another chiddush, you're allowed to crush pepper and salt. And when you're doing it, using two shinuim, what does that mean? Number one, you're using the back of the fork, let's say. And number two, you're not using a pestle or the classical utensil that you would usually crush these items. Then, halachically, it is permitted. So can you imagine you're crushing pepper or salt in two shinuim is permitted. You're not allowed to cut onions and other vegetables, even if, unless it's, first of all, it has to be close to the meal. And even then, you shouldn't cut it very, very thin. So there's a major discussion. What is that considered very, very thin? The idea is if you do it different than what you normally do the week, you're probably safe. And the chiddush here is that there are poskim that hold that if you're doing it close to the meal, then right before the meal, then it should be okay. But nevertheless, the chetchila is best not to do. So the big choppers that have those fancy knives, best not to do is called dak dak when it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, or we do it before Shabbos. When it comes to salt, and here's an interesting concept. There's another malacha, right? We're going to tell you the malachas. One of the malachas, this malacha is called me'abed. Me'abed means tanning. So the classical tanning process, I was in Morocco. I saw the professor, fascinating process, see how they did in the old days and how they do it today. But the tanning process uses salt. Salt actually softens the leather. So whenever salt has an effect of softening on food, that already is equated to the malacha ma'abed, and that's why there's restrictions, the amount of salt when you're mixing. So here's what the kitzur discusses. He says, when you have cucumber salad, so you're not allowed to salt cucumbers or radishes or onions. And the kitzur is quite limiting because it says even something that you need for the meal. So how do you eat then? What are you supposed to do again? The amount of, we're talking about the amount that's really, even though the kitzur doesn't give you a shear. But the case here is where you have these vegetables and you're going to salt them. And even what you need for the meal, the kitzur says, don't do it in the normal fashion of pouring salt on them and making whatever salad that you'd usually make. Rather, you dip the different pieces into the salt, and that's how you let eat them. So that's quite a limitation I don't know people know about. But when it comes to eggs and meat that are cooked, or anything that the salt is not really creating a physical change, rather it's only changing the taste, you're allowed to salt them if you're going to eat them for that meal, but not to leave them over to another meal. Another halacha, not to salt many beans and legumes that are cooked. Why is that? Because here's another example. So you really got to be an expert in understanding what salt does and the effect it has on different vegetables. Here, on these legumes, etc., since the salting also benefits the softening, so therefore you're limited. You can't do that. And even if you're going to eat them right away, you're not allowed to. What about salat gurkin, which again is the cucumber salad? Or other types of dips that you make from onion? So you're allowed to salt them if it's close to the meal. And the reason for that, so what's the difference here? Before we said you can't just salt cucumbers, raw cucumbers. But the answer is here, when you're making a salad, since you're adding other stuff, you're adding oil and vinegar, they weaken the strength of the salt. And that's why you're allowed to, there's no concern here again of what looks like tanning because it doesn't have the ability to soften the item that you're salting. But here too, you're still limited not to do so, to salt them and to keep them and have them later. It should be right before you're eating. And now we go to another malacha. One of the Lamedes malachas is called boine. Boine means to build. So there is a concept of binyan even when it comes to food. An example of that is megabin gvina, making and curdling cheese. Making cheese or medabik peiros, very interesting, medabik peiros, which means you're basically pressing fruits and making them into specific shapes. Interesting that the Mishnah Berurah and the Bria Halacha says we don't find that anyone was concerned with this. So this is something I think that people don't know. I would equate this to sometimes when there are special cooks or artists that know how to make special shapes when it comes to watermelons and everything else. That would be a concern according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. If it's just a classical scooper that creates bowls, that's, you know, like round pieces of the melon, that halachically okay. Here's not specific. And the Iker point is in order to get out the melon. So it'll be that it gives you a nice shape. That's, I don't think, will be included in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's limitation. Also, when it comes to onion cutting with eggs, what they call tzibelach, and they mix it. Sometimes you mix milk with fish, herring. Basically, it's that herring sauce that people have. So here too, Kitzur says, don't cut the onions in a very fine and then specific shape. Rather, it should be in the class, just a regular cutting. And lastly, another interesting halacha, when it comes to someone that wants to clean his utensils. Now, in general, you're not supposed to clean utensils if you're going to just prepare it for after Shabbos. But if you're doing it for the Shabbos, so let's say it's bothering the person, there's different leniencies of when you could wash the dishes. But even when you're washing the dishes, there's a specific way of doing so. You shouldn't pour boiling water. You know, what the classical mama would do is would put it into a big like the box and in the sink, and she would just let it soak with salt, with soap, etc. The concern the kids are saying is when a person is washing the utensils in water, but he pours boiling water on the utensils have residue. What causes the residue now to dissolve, and therefore it's considered like you're cooking it. So what do you do instead? Like I said, you have some type of big utensil inside, like a box or something inside, an insert in the sink. And you're pouring the water into that insert, and then you put the utensils. Also, the kitchen says another concern, using some type of cloth is also because you might come and squeeze. So what do? You use a type of rag that's miyucha, that's designated already for washing utensils, and therefore it's not a problem. According to this, that's why one of these regular, we'll discuss the sponges, but that's why today they have actually sponges with a handle. When you have a handle, you're never going to come to squeeze either. Another interesting concern is when a person's washing glass utensils, don't use this type of barley kernels. What in the world is a concern? Because the Mufashim explained that it will sparkle and benefit and improve the utensil, the glass utensils. And therefore, it's considered makabeh patish. You're creating a malacha. You're finishing off like a utensil. And you're not allowed to, like the kids that we mentioned a second ago, to wash your utensils on Shabbos, only those that you need for that Shabbos. Have a beautiful day.